The views expressed on this program are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of WVUD or the University of Delaware. Welcome to the Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark. Each week, WVUD hosts different artists to talk about the music they play and the lives they lead. Stay tuned for the Music Room on WVUD.
You're listening to the Music Room. I'm Bassam Khatri. With me is Aaron Tinkelman. He's a student here at the university, and he's going to play some music.
Thanks so much, Bassam, for introducing me. I'm really excited because this is the first time I'm getting to really have an extensive interview with a radio host while I play keys.
I'm very excited to have you here. Do you want to play the song?
Yeah, I would love to. So I don't really have any titles for my songs, in case you guys are wondering. Some people like a mood that's set or something with a title, but hope that I can communicate my emotions without a label. Maybe track one is what I'll go with for now.
That was wonderful.
I had a great time playing it. Thank you so much. I get, you know, can I ask, like, what kind of feel did you get from that? Any kind of season come to mind in particular, maybe?
I think spring. There was an awakening to it, you know, like something new, some rejuvenance.
Certainly. That's definitely what I had in mind and body. So
that's cool. Cool. So how did you start playing music?
Okay. So while I was probably six or seven, I had a little piano. Was from the 90s, I think, so a very, very long time ago.
Right.
It was just like something I kind of toyed around on. Some of the first songs I learned were Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, Mary Had a Little Lamb, that kind of thing, of course. With a blues finish. No, not really, but not yet. But then I kind of got lessons with an old woman when I was 8 years old. It took me about a year to realize that wasn't really my style. Classical music is what she had me kind of brought up on. I think it can be important for starting to read music. But about a year later, I got lessons with a guy who introduced me to the music of pop. And when I say the music of, I mean like the actual sheet music of pop, rock, that kind of thing. Billy Joel, Van Morrison. So then I took off from there a little bit.
Mm. So what kind of stuff did you listen to that really blew your mind when you were young? When did you know that you wanted to do this? Like, when did it click?
Well, I don't think there was ever any, and I don't think there has been any one knowing point. But when I was younger, I had an MP3 player before the iPod Mini. So I was about 8 or 9, and I was listening to Bob Marley, Chili Peppers, Stones, Beatles, AC/DC, Van Halen. So I thank my dad for that.
So recently, you switched to being a solo artist. You used to be in Salida del Sol.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you used to play in like a big jazz band, and you guys played funk and stuff. It was pretty good. But you sort of left that group, and now you're doing your own thing. Why'd you decide to go that direction?
That's an interesting question, because there is some decision in there, but part of it is that the group broke up. People logistically were having a hard time. There were eight of us. So I played in this band, Salida del Sol, for a year. People were going to different sorts of graduate school. I was the youngest in the band by a few years. Mm-hmm. I'm 21. It was just kind of luck, you know, I guess a little bit of skill, whatever skill at that moment, that I was kind of jamming, and someone invited me to a practice, and then I started playing in the band. But recently, I kind of figured that if you go by the idea that less is more, I don't think there's any kind of arbitrary thing I need to follow, which is like I need to be in a band or I need to be in a large group. So I'm kind of excited to just be able to focus on my music, but I am kind of looking around for group members too.
When you were in the band, what kind of stuff did you learn? It was a big group, so like you were saying, logistically there are some issues that arise, obviously. So what kind of things did you learn that you're applying these days?
No doubt, the first thing, communication is essential for any relationship or set of relationships. You have people with different motives in the group. One person might carry the group musically, another might carry the business side of the group. People are kind of reacting to each other, and then it gets really complicated. People are anxious about different things, and people are afraid to discuss different reasons for things with the fear that emotions are going to get in the way. And that can be troublesome in any relationship, and every relationship with actual meaning in it. Definitely communication is key.
Do you want to play us another song?
Oh, yeah, sure. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this one's going to be a little bit jazzier. It's going to be, I like to say, it's Hiatus Coyote influenced.
Nice.
I kind of got into them via some friends last semester. So. Thank you, thank you.
Great. I could really hear the Hiatus Cody inspiration there. I really like that. You were doing some interesting things with the spacing around the notes there. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I appreciate that. I take it as a compliment because, like I said before, I'm kind of working on doing a little bit less. Bringing it down from Jam World is one of my short-term and long-term goals, step by step. I wish to create more of a story with each of my songs. Some of my kind of inspiration musically would help for this. I never really paid attention to the storytelling aspect and the lyrics, particularly of songs. I've always been more of kind of a rhythm guy, but in the spaces, a lot of what I do is simple arpeggiation and kind of just trying to play, not really fills, not just fills, but whatever I feel is like the mood of what's going on. So with a little touch, a little tap, that's what I think is important.
Okay. So yeah, you come from a background in like jamming kind of music. And so you're mixing that with sort of more written, sort of structured stuff, right?
Yeah, for sure. I'm definitely trying to get into more of a structured thing. That way people can like have a good time for 2.5 minutes mm-hmm. while they listen.
I know you're very much into Buddhism and spirituality. And I know we've talked about this a lot in the past.
Unexpected road. Yeah.
Yeah. So how does that kind of play into how you approach music?
Well, I try not to criticize myself too harshly. honestly, what comes to mind is a little bit of conflict I feel when marketing myself for the business aspect of it, you know, kind of getting out there. If you take that Buddhism stuff too seriously or anything, it can kind of hinder your capacity to function in regular life. Like when you're just trying to move, like get yourself out there. If you're caught up in like the spirituality, like compulsively. I mean, if you give a nice set of ideas to... Forget the judgmental word, nice. If you give a set of ideas to a bit of a compulsive person, I guess I am kind of a little bit of an impulsive, little bit of a compulsive person. I think that has the potential to become like a compulsive set of ideas. So I try not to let that interfere.
Almost obsessive, where an idea can kind of take over and go a little too far, maybe.
Sure. I mean, let's be honest. You know, I'm kind of like not extremely neurotic, but I think I definitely have a little bit of neurotic tendency.
Right. You recently went to China. You studied abroad there. Did you learn any cool things about music while you were there?
Cool things about music? Not particularly. Okay. I know that they had it in ancient times in different ways, like that were used ritualistically. At a temple, I took a picture of a dragon standing up with this string instrument, like a guitar. And I'm kind of holding it. I'm holding it with my hands now. And the dragon has this mean, angry, like, oh, I'm shredding on this solo. It's disgusting. So I'm picturing that like, oh my God, ew. So, you know, I'm just really, kind of enthralled by that image. You know, like just disgusting. Oh my God. I'm breathing that. Can you hear this? I can hear this. Disgusting. So that's really just an enthralling image. In terms of actual music, no, I didn't really experience much. But I certainly think that the trip has influenced my creativity further.
Right.
So that's really important.
How do you think that has influenced your creativity?
I'll tell you. So qualitatively, the difference there is tremendous in a number of ways for a Westerner, from a Westerner's perspective.
Right.
So I'm actually, not to digress, but I'm actually in a class now where I go to a prison once a week and study drugs in the criminal justice system.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there last night for 3 hours and, you know, I'm speaking with half of my class is currently incarcerated.
Right.
We're there to be their peers, not study them, not their superiors. But I thought to myself last night when I was having a hard time communicating with some people, particularly the incarcerated individuals, wow, like this, the last time I felt like this was in China when I actually just had a hard time using words to communicate. It goes beyond words, communication, and people use words so carelessly that those experiences bring out that fact.
Hmm. Yeah, your background definitely influences like your language almost, but it's even though you're both speaking English, you might be on different pages.
Oh, for sure. Just kind of like when you go to a different area of the country or you discover a new dialect or something like different experiences, different values.
Right.
Like China was like, okay, why does that sound like that? Why does it smell like that? You know, why does it taste like that? All these different new sensations. That was just tremendous. So I like to say that it just gets intertwine with the qualitative flow.
Do you think music can kind of transcend that language barrier?
Certainly. You know, music, I guess it's like math. It's just universal. I actually don't know that math is universal. I was taking cultural psychology class where different sets of cultures have different sets of numbers. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it can definitely go beyond words.
Is that one of your aims as a musician?
To express myself beyond the music affect emotions. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you want to play us another song?
Sure. You may have recognized that one. It's Somewhere Over the Rainbow, a little bit of a cover. So,
a little riff off of that, I guess.
Yeah, I think of it as kind of, I feel of it as kind of like an emotional take on it.
Right.
You know, I'm picturing a lot of crazy things. I play piano a lot of the time, mm-hmm. not thinking about the piano. So.
Cool. So, are you recording any music right now? Or?
Fortunately, I have a... focus well in addition to the session now, which is just awesome. I don't want to undervalue that, but the Focusrite interface that I recently got, the Focusrite is just a brand that's really great. I've used it a few times, play around with Logic Pro, which is a great program, recommend it. I haven't really gotten to much recording. Okay. Just trying to figure out other things.
Okay. Is that something you want to do in the future?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'm kind of like arranging now, I would say.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay. Do you write and shoot music, or do you write out your arrangements and anything?
Mostly not. Like everything I played for you now, I don't have written anywhere.
Right.
I do much by memory, most of it by memory. I might need to write it out as I get different bandmates if that happens.
Mm-hmm. And is a lot of that improvised as well? Is that why it's difficult?
A lot of what I do is kind of just like improv, and then it solidifies in some sense.
What kind of pianist have you listened to that you've really drawn from, that you've connected to?
Oh, Ray Charles. Ray Charles, yeah. I don't know. Have you guys seen the movie, the Ray movie?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if I'm just drawing images from that and making it more emotional, the music more emotional, but certainly I walk around campus, you know, my mama told me. I'm not exactly sure all the details of his songs and things like that, but I definitely get a really strong feel, emotional feel from his music.
Mm.
So not just pianists, though. Also, you know, you got guitar. Stevie Wonder, his cover of, what's it? We Can Work It Out. I've been listening to that recently a lot, just over and over again. So I'm in my car, and it's kind of just like a little church in my car, because that's just what I'm listening to. And I think, honestly, like a lot of it's inspired from the church anyway, and people's experiences with the church. Jimi Hendrix, people like that, you know, just really give me a strong feel. I've got a lot of memories listening to people like that.
Are you listening to any more modern artists? I know you mentioned Hiatus Coyote earlier, but... outside of them, anything else?
Oh, yeah. My friend Russ Israel gave me an artist named Brad Meldau.
Okay.
Or Meldau, yeah. M-E-H-L-D-A-U. Fantastic modern jazz pianist. So I've been kind of listening to him. He's got this, like, disgusting rainy day kind of urban feel in a lot of his songs. And he's got some covers that are pretty sweet, too. He's got a Blackbird cover, which is dope. A lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Modern jazz pianists, not really. Brad is what comes to mind.
Any like Albanian stuff? I know Russ is really into the Albanian jazz.
I give Russ credit for all sorts of ethnic jazz.
Yeah,
but and I'll leave that to Russ. Cause, well, actually, when I was in China, I got this one CD. I was walking by a shop, I heard it, and I actually thought, wow, Russ would like this. So I went and got the CD, and I just spent a lot of time listening to that. A lot of it's in Chinese. It's vocal jazz. Some of it's softer, but it's just, it gives me that qualitative feel, which is just so nice.
What are you planning on doing in the future? I know you said you're looking for like group members. Are you trying to join a band, form a band, or like lead a band? What's the plan?
Those are good questions. I want to say I'm trying to lead a band at this point.
Okay.
In part might be separate from my own thing, although everything that I've played so far this evening and everything that I play in general, like the ground becomes more fertile when I have a drummer with me. That's a rule for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the law. A bassist, you know, is usually pretty awesome too. I haven't had the easiest time finding bassists just out of logistics and lack of my knowing where to search. It's cool to have a drummer.
So. Well, our very own Mando Richard. Bass, so maybe you can ask him to jam with you sometime.
Yeah, I would love to. I'm always looking for new people to jam with if they can, you know, hold the rhythm. If they're clapping on 1 and 3, don't be my friend. So
do you want to play us one last song?
Okay. So this is kind of something, it's not kind of something. This is something I'm arranging now. It's not technically complete. Okay. It's just something I'm working on. Thank you.
great. I liked it.
Thanks so much.
I could hear the Ray Charles influence and sort of the soul gospel kind of influence there.
Yeah, I try to rock back and forth as I play to mm-hmm. make me feel like I'm Ray Charles a little bit. So, yeah.
So moving forward, are you trying to go more in that direction? Because you used to be really into like funk and sort of that.
I still am. I think that it's a little hard for me to have the vibe I want without accompanists.
Sure. Like
a drummer, bassist, especially with that bass. Like a bono bam bam dick banit kaboo bam. So I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm. When you do form a band, are you looking to get back into sort of playing that kind of music?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what the group's feeling.
Right, of course. Any upcoming shows?
I've been doing banquets. I've actually done 2 or 3 banquets recently. So it's like I'm there, but I'm not really there. You know?
Right.
So it's like, well, no one gives a crap about you. Mm-hmm. But you're there, and I don't think that they certainly wouldn't have the music without my being there or someone else's being there who plays music. So I feel special in that regard. I get to have a good time. It's a lot more fun when I get to bring a drummer. So I bring a drummer from time to time if I can.
Mm-hmm. You might introduce somebody to new music, somebody that wouldn't normally come to one of your shows, you know. You might reach out to an audience that doesn't normally listen to that kind of music. You know?
That's true. A couple people, if I'm lucky, they'll continue to ask for my business card, which I recently got printed.
Oh, wow.
And I think that's a little bit of an accomplishment for myself. So. Mm-hmm.
Aaron Tinkleman, it's been a pleasure to have you down here. You played some great music.
Oh, thanks. This is like such a cool experience for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just kind of sign off slowly, but it's been really great. Of course, I'm happy to broadcast my music and, mm-hmm. you know, just get some understanding out there about me, what I like to do. So thanks so much for having me, to everyone working on it. Thanks to Rich Gordon. Thanks to Bassam Khatri. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to The Music Room on WVUD. For more information about this and other episodes of The Music Room, including selections from the interviews and information about the music, visit us online at sites.udel.edu/TMR. Tune in next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. for another episode of The Music Room on WVUD and WVUD HD1 Newark.